chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I'd like to read the 29th verse. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Deuteronomy 33 is the record of the last public act of Moses right before his death. His death is recorded in the next chapter. We see in verse 1 this blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. It's the last public act of Moses, the last recorded words of Moses. In the Old Testament, it was customary for a father to impart a blessing to his sons before his death. And that is what we see Moses doing in this chapter. He, of course, was the leader of the Exodus, and in that sense was Israel's father. So what we have here are the dying words of Moses, and they reveal where we can find comfort in the dying moment. He found comfort in the God of blessing, found comfort in the blessings that God had bestowed. In verses 2 through 5, he praises the Lord. And in verses 6 through 25, he pronounces blessings upon the tribes of Israel. And what is said about natural Israel here is true of spiritual Israel, the saved, today and throughout the ages. And in verses 26 through 29, Moses again praises the Lord. And our text is a part of that and is a summation of everything that had gone on before. Now, in our text, we see that the people spoken of throughout the chapter are referred to as people saved by the Lord. People saved by the Lord. To be saved, of course, is to be the recipient of the act of saving, the act of rescuing, the act of sparing. People saved by the Lord. Most of us here are identified as that people, a people saved by the Lord. We are rescued. We are delivered people. Now, in order to be saved, someone had to do the saving. And we see a people saved by the Lord. He's the Savior. Of course, the Bible makes that clear. Notice also that this people that is saved by the Lord, they are an extraordinary people. They're a very distinctive people. The question is asked, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? So they're different. What makes them different is the Lord's work of saving. What makes them different is the Lord. What makes them different is the Lord's work in their life. So I want to speak tonight on a blessed and privileged people. This might make you nervous, but usually I have two or three main points. Tonight we have 25. Usually we preach 45 minutes to an hour. for 2 or 3 points. Can you imagine 25? But we're just going to mention the points and again go through the chapter. And we see some characteristics. What makes these people, what makes us different? And again, we're just going to mention them, a few comments on them. But you study them for yourself and you meditate upon them for yourself. So we want to look at this people. If we go back to verse 2, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. So you can read, the Lord came unto them. That's true of you and I, a people saved by the Lord. There was a time when the Lord came unto us. Now, it is true. In order to be saved, you must come unto Him. That is true. But you will not come unto Him unless He first comes unto you and does a work. So we, a saved people, He came unto us. He's been coming ever since. Secondly, in verse 2, notice what else He did. And shined forth. He came unto us and shined forth. He revealed Himself. He made Himself manifest to us. Something shines, it gets your attention. He came unto us. He got our attention. He shined forth. Thirdly, He had something for us. Again, verse 2. From His right hand went a fiery law. He came unto us. He shined. He had something for us. The law of God. The word of God. Then notice verse 3. Yea, He loved the people. He loved us. It's a unique love. It's as unique as He is. It's a special love. It's as special as He is. It's eternal. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It's a love that's uninfluenced. Uninfluenced. That is, there wasn't anything in us that would cause God to love us. It was a selective love. By that we simply mean He chose to love us. And He chose to love us in spite of ourselves. It's an active love. That is, it's a love that's always expressing itself. It's a sacrificing love, the most sacrificial love that there is. Gave His Son for us. It's a love that's infinite. It has a width, it has a depth, a length, and a height. But none of those can be measured. It's an infinite love. It's invincible. Nothing can conquer it. It cannot be extinguished. So we see He came to us. He shined forth. He had something for us. And He loved us. Then notice fifthly, in verse 3, notice two words, His saints. His saints. His sanctified ones, His set-apart ones. This people saved by the Lord, this people loved by the Lord, are set apart. They're set apart from all others. This makes them different. He sets us apart. Sixthly, they have a very special place. Verse 3. He loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. We are a saved people. We are in the hand of the Lord. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 29, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. His hand is a forming hand. It's an upholding hand. It's a preserving hand. It's a guiding hand. It's a directing hand. Not only are we in his hand, but we read, notice, keep a mark there and go to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. In verse 15, he asks a question, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Not likely. Yea, they may forget. It's not likely, but they may. Yet will I not forget thee. And then notice what he says. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Engraved, we're in his hands. We are engraved in the palms of his hands, so that we are continually before him. We read in Psalm 31 and verse 15, my times are in thy hand. You and I do not know what our times consist of, but it's good to know that they're in his hand. They're not anywhere else. They're in his hand. So we see we have a special place. We're in his hand. Also regarding this special place, they sat down at thy feet. In his hand and sitting at his feet. Very, very special place. And then notice, seventhly, we receive of him, or we receive from him. Verse 3, everyone shall receive of thy words. Every people who are identified with a people saved by the Lord have received the words of God. We received them the day we were saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We heard the word of God. We received the word of God like we never did before. And ever since that day, we are to continue to receive his word. A saved people have the ability to receive the word of God. That makes us a blessed and privileged people. Verse 4 also, we see this would be 8. Moses commanded us a law. Moses commanded us a law. A people saved by God have a law. They have a rule. Is a rule? It's God's rule. And it's been delivered unto us. Ninthly, we see he now begins to bestow best blessings upon the tribes of Israel. And what he says here of each of these can also be said of a people saved by the Lord. In verse 6, he says, let Reuben live. We are a living people. A people that have been raised from the dead. A people that have been made alive unto God. Verse 7, this would be the 10th. Verse 7, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Hear the voice of Judah. A saved people is a praying people. Aren't you glad that as a saved individual you have access to God? You have access to the throne of grace. You can pray. We are priests. We can approach the Lord. We are also an enlightened people. We see that in verses 8 through verse 10. We'll not read those verses for time's sake, but we are an enlightened people. The world is in darkness. The world is in ignorance. And may I say, ignorance is not a virtue. Ignorance is not a virtue. Ignorance is something we ought to always be seeking to overcome, especially when it comes to the things of God. We are an enlightened people. A saved people know things that no one else knows. And it doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It doesn't have anything to do with IQ. It's just a matter of the Lord revealing to us, the Lord revealing truth to us. And as God reveals truth to us, the more enlightened we become, He saves our life over and over and over and over again because He's enlightened us on some things. We know, I'm not going to do that. God has shown me differently. I'm not going to do that. I know that doesn't work. The world doesn't know that. They're ignorant. They're in darkness. But a saved people is an enlightened people. Verse 12, we see we're a protected people. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord. There it is again, we're loved of God. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now I almost, and I'm going to have to try real hard, I almost got stuck on this verse. There's a lot here. But we are a protected people. It refers to us here as beloved of the Lord. That simply means we are being loved of God. Not only did He love us, we are being loved of God. He continues. That's what beloved means. But notice, these individuals shall dwell, that is the saved, shall dwell in safety. But then notice the position of safety. And the position of safety relates to the Lord. So he says, shall dwell, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. And then notice the position, there's a preposition, by him. What's that mean? It means beside him. As a saved people, we are beside Him. We are safe. Always safe beside Him. But then notice what else it says. And the Lord shall cover him. Who? The beloved. The ones who are beside Him. The Lord shall cover him all the day long. What's our position there? It means we're under Him. He covers us. We're under Him. So now we're beside Him. We're under Him. That's safety. Beside Him, under Him, and this is the one I really like, and He shall dwell between His shoulders. That means we're on Him. We're on Him. He's carrying us on His shoulders. We're safe. God's people, the saved by the Lord, are a safe people. We are a protected people. In verses 13 through 17, we see the 13th thing. We're a very fruitful people. And in those verses, he speaks of the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep. You and I experience the precious things of heaven. You think since the day you've been saved, all the precious things that you've experienced from heaven. I mean, we've forgotten a large part of them. But we have experienced precious things. Things that the world cannot give us. We read in verse 30 or verse 14 of precious fruits. Precious things put forth. Verse 15, the chief things, that's the important things. A saved people are fruitful people. They receive the chief things, the important things. It's sad what the world gets caught up in. But they're the chief things. And you and I know those chief things. And we experience those chief things. He speaks of the precious thing in verse 16, the precious things of the earth, the fullness thereof, the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. So we're a fruitful. A people saved is a fruitful people. Then if you go down to verse 19, they shall call the people unto the mountain, there they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. A people saved by the Lord is a sacrificing people, or a people that worships the Lord. Ever since the day that God saved our soul, we have had the ability, we have had the privilege and the opportunity of worshiping the Lord. And that is one of the chief things, to be able to worship God. So I look back on my life, my saved life, I have absolutely no regret that I would rather be in the house of God than anywhere else. That I'd rather worship God than do anything else. That's a wonderful life, to be able to worship the Lord. We see, I believe this is 15, it doesn't really matter, we're a courageous people. Verse 20, and of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. A courageous and an overcoming people. We're satisfied and full people. Verse 23, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor. You could read that, satisfied with grace. That's what grace is, it's favor. Satisfied with favor. God saved our soul. We received of his favor. And we are satisfied with the favor of God. And then notice, and full with the blessing of the Lord. A satisfied and full people. We are filled with the blessings of God. Also, a saved people is blessed with strength, blessed with vigor. Verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, and we don't know how many our days are, nor do we know what our days consist of. But however many our days be, and whatever our days consist of, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. We are blessed with God-given strength and vigor. And this shows the wisdom and goodness of God. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. If God, at the beginning of our saved life, were just to bestow, give us strength, say, here's all the strength, use it as you please, we would have wasted it a long time ago. But what God does is he gives us strength, as thy days shall be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. I don't know, you don't know, how many days we have left. But we know this, however many days there are, I'll have strength for that day. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. But whatever the day brings forth, God will give us the strength. So this strength is proportionate. It's proportionate to our days. What a wise and loving God that we have. Verse 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. He's our helper. You look back, we can even go back before we were saved. We were ignorant of it then, but we see how God helped us, how God protected us, how God spared us over and over and over. But ever since the day God has saved our soul, He's been a very present help. And it says, thy help. Thy help. That's not a general help. That's a personal help. He's the one who comes to our aid. Comes to our aid. God comes to our aid every day. Many times a day. Many times we're not even aware of it. And many times we mistake it for the aid of somebody else. God comes to our aid. God supports us. That's what a help does. Support. God holds us up. How many have had days and you thought, there's no way I'm going to get through this? But here you are. You got through it. And because God supports. How does God support? There's too many ways to, we can't even name all the ways that God provides support for His people. And I believe He does it even to the unsaved. He gives them support. Otherwise they couldn't. But they don't know it. But there is a special support that God gives us. He's our help. That means that He alleviates. Oh, how many times God has alleviated for us. Then notice in verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. He's our refuge. A saved people have a refuge. They have a place of protection. They have a place of availability. A refuge is no good if it's not available to you. God is our refuge, and He's available. Not only must it be available, we must have access to it. And so it is with God. He's our protection. He's available. And we have access. As a saved people, we can flee to God. Then there's verse 27. God is our stability. The eternal God is thy refuge. And in addition to that, underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. That's a region which we cannot see. Underneath. Underneath speaks of a foundation. A people saved by God have a foundation. And it's not a foundation of sand. Underneath are the everlasting arms. It's God's arms. Arms that can hold up the entire universe. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You and I fall. We stumble, we fall. Someone will ask, well, how far can a child of God fall? And I know what they mean by that. And the answer to that question is, I really don't know. But the Bible gives us examples of men and women who fell pretty far. Further than most people would say, well, there's no way they're saved. And you think about David. And you think about what David did. And ask that question, how far can a child of God fall? A long ways. But however far it is, underneath are the everlasting arms. I know this. How far can I fall? I really don't know what I'm capable of doing. It's scary. But I know I can't fall further than His arms. That's not going to happen. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So God is our stability. Also, verse 27, God is the fighter of our battles. Oh, that we would learn that lesson. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. He fights our battles. Give the battle to the Lord. In verse 29, He's our sword. He's our shield. I just noticed here in verse 27, He's our refuge. It means He's all around us. If you go up to verse 26, He rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Okay, so there He's above us. He's our refuge. He's all around us. He's underneath. And then in the latter part of verse 27, thrust out the enemy before thee. He's in front of us. Everywhere you go, there He is. So you have God's presence there in verses 26 and 27. There is safety. There is safety. Israel then, shall, verse 28, shall dwell in safety alone. Verse 28, there are heavenly blessings. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Every day of my life, God drops down dew. God drops down spiritual blessings upon me. Every single day there's manna from heaven. Every single day. And then lastly, in verse 29, we see that we have victory. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. We have victory. We are overcomers. So what is the end result of all of that? Verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel. A people saved by the Lord, how can we not be happy? Happy art thou. That means cheerful, thrilled, exhilarated, excited, jubilant. And it's present tense. Happy art thou. That is right now. A people saved by God ought to be happy right now. Happy art thou, O Israel. Filled with delight. Filled with gladness. And again, it's present tense. We don't have to wait to be happy. It's not that we used to be happy and such happened. But happy art thou, O Israel, a people saved by the Lord. Truly what we read in Psalm 115 and verse 15 is true of every single one of us here, whether saved or unsaved. But it is especially true of a people saved by the Lord. And what we read there in Psalm 115 and verse 15 is, "Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Ye, you can put your own name in the place of ye, are blessed of the Lord. And that doesn't matter what day it is. It doesn't matter what has gone on in that day. However terrible you might view it, ye are blessed of the Lord. My worst day is better than the lost person's best day. That's true of all children of God. We don't always see it that way. But it's the truth. We are blessed of the Lord. A people saved by the Lord. What got me thinking about this was a song we sang Sunday, Saved. And this verse came to my mind, "O people saved by the Lord." And I just began to look here at Deuteronomy 33. I thought about making it a whole series, and I thought, no, I'll just mention these things. But hopefully these will bless us, cause us to realize that we are to be a happy people. We are a blessed people. Sing the song, "Count Your Blessings." That's good advice, but try it sometime. You can't, there's too many of them. You can't count. Because a lot of things that we don't consider blessings are really some of our biggest blessings. But we are blessed of God. And I love that word, saved. People saved by the Lord. I'm saved. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead